Thought pictures from the past. When we awaken in the morning, we are placed in this day. From the outside, it may look the same for many, since it brings sun, clouds, rain, snow, wind or storm for everyone. But the radiation of the day is different for each individual. Just as no person is the same as another one in his inner being. For this reason, the day belongs to each one very personally, because it approaches him personally above all according to what lies in his soul, to what he has felt, thought, spoken and how he has acted in the past or present. If we use the moment, we will experience far less suffering, lack of peace and lack of joy. If, despite our endeavors and our turning toward Christ in our inner being, thoughts about the past catch up with us again and again, we should take a closer look at them. We will then discover that our thoughts about the past are pictures. These show us former situations, impressions and events. We should not allow our thoughts to drive us into the past or into the future so that we concern ourselves there with useless matters. However, if such pictures vividly come up before us as if they were present, then it may be that we did not really live this situation. Incident or event in the past. Did not live means that we were indeed present as a person in these events, but were not consciously there because our sensations and thoughts, that is, a part of our consciousness which, after all, is our life, were outside the situation. We were too egocentric in our thoughts and were not aware that each moment has something to tell us. The following examples can be of help in understanding this. We repeatedly think about our former home, about our former house, about the furnishings of the house and about various items. In our thought picture, we see various experiences in this house, with the family or with acquaintances. We see smaller or larger celebrations in the house and in the garden. Why does this picture keep coming to us? Another thought picture shows us the nice rooms of our former house, in which items, such as furniture pieces, carpets or pictures, were of special value. Why? A further thought picture shows us situations with our children, incidents we may have gone along with and experienced, but did not really live through, because we were not fully present in our thoughts and did not completely get a hold on the situation. That is, we did not give it life. Why did we not consciously penetrate these moments with our presence? Or in another thought picture, we are still a child or a growing teenager. What displeased us then, or what did we, in those moments, deliberately ignore? The thought picture of the past wants to show this to us. Yet another thought picture shows us our former garden. Certain flowers, flower beds, trees or bushes appear again before our eyes. Do they want to convey something to us? In another thought picture, we are taking a walk with the family or we are on vacation with our partner. When such a thought picture harasses us, what does it want to tell us? Did we consciously experience that walk or vacation? Was our consciousness, which is our life, completely in the situation? During the walk, during the vacation, or were we outside ourselves in thought? It may be different thought pictures that are reflected into the present from totally different periods of life. Such and similar thought pictures are triggered by one or more of our thought forms. It may be thoughts we had back then, in these situations of the past. They detached themselves from the occurrence, and we built them outside ourselves as a thought form. By way of the causal computer, we are now being reminded through these thought forms to examine more closely these segments of our life, so that we clear up and bring to a close what had entered our soul as a binding or burden. We may very well have been present as a person in all these past situations and incidents. We may very well have seen the nice rooms, cared for them or decorated them, moved about in them and enjoyed them. Nevertheless, We did not quite fill with life what we owned. We extended invitations for smaller or larger parties. Personally organized. Arranged and prepared everything. And yet we did not fill the whole thing with life. Because we were not present with our thoughts. We were there only physically. But not with our awareness. Which is the life. We may very well have gone for a walk with our family or moved around in the garden. We also enjoyed certain bushes, trees, flower beds and particular flowers. We looked at them and yet were not really present with our world of sensations and thoughts. We even spoke about the beauty of the garden. And yet our sensations and thoughts were not fully there. The body was present. But our world of sensations and thoughts was not in us. We were not in our house. In our body. If we now go into these thought pictures with our sensations, it is possible that a feeling of emptiness or unreality or sorrow may seize us. What does this want to tell us? Perhaps it wants to tell us that we may very well know we experienced those particular situations, but did not consciously live through the moments of those situations. We may very well have experienced and seen those situations of our past with others. However, we did not permeate them with an alert consciousness. We did not live in the moment and did not make use of what the day showed us. All this is indeed already past and yet it is present. I repeat. Our sensations and thoughts are the substance of our life. They are our consciousness. If we are not consciously in a situation, that is, if our consciousness is outside of us, then our body is like a puppet. We put into action what we had long ago preset in ourselves as a program. This then controls us. Or we are controlled from outside. By other forces. And are thus lived. And so. The past brings pictures into the present and shows us at the same time. Via our sensations, for instance. Sorrow. Joy or suffering, what the pictures want to express. We can deduce from this that we did not live through certain past periods of our life. We no doubt organized nice parties. Put the house in order and placed the pretty pieces in the right light. We looked after our family. Had good conversations with them. And shared joy and suffering as well, and yet. Part of our consciousness was absent. It was not with us. What can be done? Those periods of life that we did not penetrate with our sensations and thoughts. That is. Which we did not properly live through. Now stand in front of us and want to be cleared up. Since there is a solution in everything. There is a solution here. Too. So that we can close these chapters of our life today. We now want to take a closer look at one of these thought pictures. One that is important for us today. We let the picture come alive in us. We think and sense our way into it. We now look at all the details that are reflected to us by the thought picture. With our feelings and sensations. We put ourselves into the picture and live through the highlights of our past. We move in that situation and now live through the picture. After about 10 minutes. Because we should not revive the past for much longer. We ask ourselves critically whether what we have now recognized is still important for us today. Or what would have happened if we had, at that time, lived through and shaped those situations that are now still present in us. Or, how would the present look if we had been open, approachable, understanding and helpful back then? Or, what would have happened if we had lived through the situation back then? That is, if we had consciously lived the moment, all of this, we now let come to us. If we have penetrated the picture with our world of feelings, sensations and thoughts and perhaps even physically felt what we could not experience back then. For instance, joy, sorrow, pain, suffering or love. And if we have weighed the pros and cons with an honest heart, then we can recognize whether we should forgive people or ask for forgiveness or make amends for something. We should then do this and not postpone it. Or we can even discard a few pictures or situations right away, so that these now enter our world of memory. In this way, one period of life after the other goes into our sphere of memory. This means that we may very well still remember the different periods of our past, but we do not cling to them any longer and they no longer occupy our thoughts. The same procedure helps us if enmities from the past are still present. Let us also experience ourselves in such a picture and allow it to come alive. If we are willing to close the past, we will also see ourselves and the seemingly guilty person in this thought picture and will be able to get rid of everything that led to the quarrel and enmity. But let us be exacting when we do this. Was only the other person guilty? Or were not we, ourselves, also a part of it? No buts, please. Let us look at it carefully. No quarrel is one-sided. It always takes two to quarrel. The following question can help us to recognize ourselves. What was there in us and me at the moment the quarrel broke out? The one who looks deeper keeps the eternal laws. Have we become more alert and aware by looking into the picture? If yes, we will take the first step and ask our neighbor or neighbors for forgiveness. If we have seen the moments we have wasted in our past in fast motion, so to speak, and if we have again revived them by putting ourselves in them, then it is possible for us to close the past and to turn toward the present and a higher life. The closed pictures of the past go back into the consciousness layers, between the consciousness and the subconscious, where our memories are stored. When we revive such pictures from the past, we should always do this with the inner intent of transforming, with the light of Christ, the still vibrating programs. We should not let the past come up again out of curiosity, or even to rummage about in it with our thoughts, but should only revive it in us when the day's energy offers us such a picture so that we may clear something up. Our pictures of the future. Pictures of the future can become even more dangerous for us than the past we did not live through. If we are not willing to live in the moment, we tend to escape into pictures of the future. For example, we paint passionate scenes or make up heroic roles for ourselves. We plan exactly how everything has to run in order to achieve what we build in our imaginary world. They are the castles in the air. All this becomes thought forms. When something comes up today from the burdens of our souls so that we settle it today, this can also become a picture of the future. Namely, if we postpone it and instead of clearing it up we continue to intensify it through negative thoughts and actions and project it into the future. We think, for example, if I don't manage it today, I'll manage it later. And so, we do not live in the moment but in the future, thus adding to a thought form. But of what use are our pictures of the future? Do we know whether it will happen as we wish or imagine? On the other hand, however, we can and should plan our future conscientiously. Then we should place our plan in the will of God and leave it with God. When we then live in the moment, God can guide us and we will recognize whether what we planned is also good for us. But we should not stubbornly push through what wants to take another path. Who knows whether the way it wants to go isn't better for us? He alone knows. Who knows all things, the inner helper and advisor, God. If we create pictures of the future as thought forms, these also influence us when we call them up with the same or like thoughts with which we have formed them. They have an effect on us and try to urge us in that direction which we input in them. If we are not alert, that is, if we do not live in the moment, they will lead us past the real tasks of our life on earth. And we will no longer come to know what was given to us to clear up or fulfill during this earthly existence. Then we do not live, but are lived. We are marionettes of our thought forms and possibly of those souls that have settled into these thought forms. Summary. I would like to summarize the essential points once more. Each day brings to every person those things that need to be cleared up or fulfilled by him on that day. The days show themselves in individual situations, in occurrences, in conversations, through feelings and thoughts, in words and deeds. The day also shows itself through our fellow men, colleagues, relatives, acquaintances, and through the members of our family. The alert person who lives the moment can read a great deal from it and set the right course for the rest of his life. The one who does not live in the building blocks of the day creates more and more thought forms. That is, robots, to which he is tied, because they are part of him. Since the thought forms belong to the person who created them, they are linked up with the causal computer. Just like the person and the soul of the person, the robots, with their many-sided inputs, then approach and influence us when we call them with the same or like thoughts through which we have formed them. The person who does not live in the moment, in the day, is lived, and for this reason cannot recognize in the right light the situations of the day and all that it brings, or find the solution for them. And when we move around in the day's occurrences and our sensations and thoughts are not with our work, with the situation, that is, they are not in the moment, we do not fill with life what the day brings. Instead, part of our awareness, our consciousness, is where we are in our sensations and thoughts. This means that we do not live in the present but, for example, in the past or in the future. The day then takes with it again what we have not accepted and cleared up today, and brings it back another time. But it can be that what it wanted to show us today will come to us tomorrow, the day after tomorrow or after years, in a far more intense and burdening way. Because in the meantime we have continued to build on it with the same or like sensations and thoughts. What the day then takes with it again is thus not cancelled but simply postponed. Many of the day's impulses admonish and warn us. If we repeatedly let the admonishments and warnings pass us by, then what the day has indicated and what it drew our attention to, so that we clear it up, will one day come to us powerfully and interfere in our life, either through a blow of fate or through illness or suffering. When the day that brings the death of our body then comes, which is unavoidable, since death requires no decision from us because it enters our physical body directly, then we, as a soul, take with us into the planes of purification everything the days had brought us and which we paid no attention to. Thus, it is even possible that we take considerably more burdens into the worlds of the beyond than we had brought with us upon entering this earthly existence. For what we did not apprehend continues to apprehend us. In this way, we have added more to the already existing faults and sins and have even built on them. When the causal computer indicates no further incarnation, our soul also takes our thought forms with it as burdens. The soul will then dissolve these shadows during its further maturing process. However, if we have set the wheel of reincarnation into motion again for our soul by continuing to burden ourselves on Earth, then some thought forms will remain in the Earth's atmosphere when our physical body passes away. If our soul slips once more into a newborn earthly body, our stored thought forms will approach us when we are mature enough as human beings to be able to differentiate between good and evil. If now the causal computer stimulates the correspondences of our soul and the day wants to point them out to us, but we take no notice of them as in our previous incarnations, then we summon from the atmosphere the thought forms we deposited there in a former life. They come toward us and intensify our unlawful way of thinking, speaking and acting. All that we should have overcome with the power of Christ. Everything human. That is, everything unlawful that has not been atoned for or cleared up, will keep coming toward us either when we are a soul in the soul realms or when we are a human being on earth until we put an end to it all by repenting, asking for forgiveness, making amends and then no longer doing the same thing. We should remember that the law of cause and effect brings everything to light. Now we can also better understand the statement, God's mills grind slowly. We feel what we have not cleared up. Our sins. In our body as pain. Illness. Suffering or a blow of fate. In the soul realms. We feel directly in and on our soul body what we have done to our neighbor. Be it only in thoughts. As a soul we feel the pain. The suffering and everything that our neighbor felt and suffered because of our behavior. In some cases. This can be the so-called torments of hell for our soul. Our soul also has to atone for the situation our neighbor fell into which was not foreseen for him in this incarnation because of our human egocentric behavior and from which he could no longer extricate himself in time. And through which his life took a very different course. Or if we force our neighbor to do this or that. If we even threaten them and by certain means bring about what we want for ourselves. Then we are tied to them and must feel. Experience and suffer everything in and on our soul body. Their annoyance. Their resignation and. Not least of all. What they were not able to overcome during their life on earth. Because we interfered in the course of their life. We must expiate and suffer through everything that our neighbor could have experienced and cleared up in the course of their earthly life. And the one who does under compulsion what his neighbor demands from him binds himself as well to the one who makes these demands. Both. The one who demands and the one who lets himself be subjugated. Are tied to each other. They will be brought together again and again. Whether in this incarnation. In further incarnations or in the soul realms. Until what has tied them to each other is eliminated. So. Let us recognize that a moment that has gone by unnoticed can trigger an avalanche of dangers. This is why the statement live the moment and make use of your time on earth so that you live. As a soul. In more light-filled and finer spheres is of great significance. Every person dies. Physical death is already preset at the moment of the birth of our physical body. Unlawful forces will not use the person who makes use of the time from that moment on when he is able to differentiate between good and evil. He will create hardly any thought forms. Because he is himself and grows into the true being. Into the divine self. Into freedom. Which is the spiritual birth of the soul. Therefore. Live the moment and you will recognize yourself and find your way into the impersonal. Into your divine self. You will then experience who you are. And who and what your true self is. May everyone who reads this book recognize the grace of God. It is never too late if. From this very instant. We turn back and. With Christ's help. Make use of the moment and eliminate or fulfill what we have recognized today. Then we give our ego no further nourishment and our thought forms are also transformed into positive energies. For Christ in God, our Father, transforms everything and makes everything new.